This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays. With a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist, it's Natterdays.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back, a College World Series title. Come on, stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
I woke up at 3:12 a.m., but it had nothing to do with hitting the windows.
Would have to do it.
It had to do with my wife sitting straight up in bed, grabbing me by the leg, and no, it wasn't for that, and saying, the flight attendant has it. The flight attendant has it. I said, what? And then she goes right back to sleep. So sometime later today, we will have a conversation about whatever, and she has no clue, and I know she's not listening. What in the hell has the flight attendant got?
You know,
so I've been up since 3:12 wondering, what's the flight attendant got?
Did it scare you? Like, because that's something that, because if I woke up and I just heard my wife saying, yelling that, would it scare me?
Occasionally, you know, people murmur or say something in a dream, but she like sat straight up in bed like someone had
Eureka.
Someone had hit her with 240, you know, like jumper cables had been attached to her toes.
Jeez.
The flight attendant has it.
Well, Tommy, you woke up and ready to roll then. This morning then.
Great.
You're ready to roll.
Wonderful. Where is she? Where are we going?
You probably would have rather have woken up with the storm instead.
And then about that time, there was lightning and whatever going on outside.
Yeah,
we didn't really get a lot of heavy rain down here in the valley, but I know some other folks. Or
really?
If we did, I didn't get it at my house.
Hey, we certainly, it was at least sounded like it. I don't know if we actually got it, but it certainly sounded like it. But yeah, the weather is definitely brutal out there. But luckily, folks, it shouldn't have any impact on the Arkansas Razorback baseball game tonight at Bomb Stadium, where they open up a series against the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Now, the Mississippi State Bulldogs, folks, just like every other SEC team, it seems like, you know, it felt like, what was it in 2014 or 2013 football with Brett Bielema, where it was every SEC team you ended up playing that was just some like big time top 20 team. And just they move into that ranking right before you play them. It's kind of the same way in baseball. I mean, you have teams that you play like LSU that, you know, is going to be good, or Vanderbilt or whoever, like these teams that are perennially pretty good. But it's just been such a brutal schedule for the Razorbacks, which this is what makes this series so important, because you know that they have already lost a series against Ole Miss, which is a really good team. You know that they already lost a series against Vanderbilt, which is a really good team. But if you're going to try to impress the committee and want to be in a position to where you can host a regional as well as a super regional, this series this weekend is the type of series that you have to win. You got to get you a big one. You've had some nice ones, though. I'm not trying to take anything away. I mean, that Auburn series was a really nice series victory on the road, where you had that crazy game two and ended up winning the rubber match there in game three. I mean, you've had some nice ones. I'm not trying to say that you haven't. But a series victory like having one this weekend against Mississippi State can open up all sorts of doors and can really catapult you right into the conversation of not only being a team that hosts a regional but a super regional, which is important. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is something that's very important.
This is a big, big series when you just look at the quality of Mississippi State. I mean, obviously there's a lot of great teams, but everyone thinks about the LSU series. It's a little bit later on down because you've had so much trouble beating LSU in a series. Not in a game, but in a series.
Since 2011, I believe.
And, you know, it's just been like a mental block. And everybody wants to beat LSU. I totally get that. But as far as building a top 8 seed resume, this is the team that you really need a home series win over. A, it's a home series. Can't afford to be giving many of those away. And B, number 2 team in the country. I mean, that goes a long ways with the committee to say, Arkansas is legit. That's another validating series win.
Yeah. And not only that, but with your pitching rotation and how it's been kind of moved around a little bit, Connor Nolan, I'm sure as most people know, pitched against UAPB. So he's not going to be a starter, at least in game two, because they're going to go with Patrick Wicklander in game two. Game three has that oh-so-fun TBA, which I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but that's just not something you really want to see into the middle of SEC play.
Yeah, this is fifth series, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you're exactly halfway into your 10-series stretch here. And it's not exactly what you want to see against the number two team in all the land.
Yeah, but we'll see how they do. I mean, this is a team that has a lot of talent, a lot of ability. Still got Dave Van Horn at the helm, so you shouldn't have to at least be concerned about.
No, you're not worried about getting out coached. You're just worried about getting out played.
Yeah,
you know.
And again, I'm curious to see what the crowd will be like too, because this one in LSU. I guess that's it, right, for your SEC series. Maybe you have one more. I'm trying to remember the schedule and how it's set up. But either way, you have some big ones coming down.
LSU's, I know, a home series later on in the year.
Tennessee's
another one.
Tennessee's the other one, too. So, yeah, I mean, you got some good games and some good series coming up. But, man, this one could go a long way. If you could find a way to get a victory out of this one, and it could put you right back into the mix of being a top 10 team, too. So, that's for sure. Also, today, we're going to have some fun here on the show. Not that we never have fun, but we're going to do something really
fun. It's Easter weekend.
Yeah. And who doesn't love Easter? I mean, I love Easter. You know why I love Easter? Because it's one of the few times that it's socially acceptable to dress like an Easter egg, like I do with my pastel colors. And nobody look at me funny and say, oh, well, you're looking springy today. Yeah, I am. And I love it because of that. But it's also because of the children, and they get to hunt Easter eggs and paint Easter eggs, all that fun stuff.
So let's have kind of a Morning Rush version on the radio. As best we can with me and you and Ty. And Tyler's supposed to be on with us, Tyler Wilson. We're going to have some fun with him because Starkle, I think, he put out a tweet we're going to talk about later.
Yeah, that'll be curious to see what Tyler
So we're
going to
have
thinks.
A little bit of a Morning Rush creative content Easter egg hunt this morning.
Yes, sports-themed.
And in sports-themed. And when you hear this music, I picked some music out to go along with this.
Oh, my gosh.
To kind of kick it off. What do you think? What do you think? This kind of sounds Easter-y.
So if I heard this music, I'd start running the other direction. But yes, it is.
Welcome Rabbits.
Is that the song's called? Welcome Rabbits. Welcome Rabbits.
You can do better, do better.
I can't. Welcome Rabbits. We are the Welcome Rabbits. Oh my God. Welcome Rabbits. We're going to have people just punching their stereos. In their own cars, they're going to just be ripping out the radio.
It needed to be a little.
Oh, it needed to be.
It needed to be over the top with cheese and hokiness, and I think we accomplished that.
I think it's full of cheese and hokiness right now with a song like that. So when you hear that music, folks, that means that we're going to start getting into the Morning Rush Easter egg hunt.
Yeah.
But we're not hunting eggs necessarily because, one, we can't really do that on the radio, and two, we're lazy.
Tell them, Johnny, how it works.
Yeah, so basically what we're going to do is we have these little sports themes egg, too, which provided by Tommy Kraft. Very nice. And if you're watching our video stream, you can see me doing this.
But I went all out on these things, baby. Even show them the basket. I even got a sports-themed Easter egg basket.
It says touchdown on
it. Yeah, it's got
it.
A football on it, and our Easter eggs are baseballs and footballs and basketballs and soccer balls.
Yeah, because we're big soccer guys.
Let me tell you, I went all out. These were top shelf at the Dollar General.
You know, I was feeling these.
Top shelf Dollar General Easter eggs here.
Yeah, because when I was feeling these and putting them in there, I'm like, wow, Tommy, these are
quality.
It doesn't get any better
than
this.
These will last months and months.
I'm sure they will. So basically, here's how it's going to work, folks. And you can get involved in this too, because we have a few extra spare eggs that if you want to send us a topic or a particular name to give us, let me just explain it and we'll get into that. Essentially, one of us is going to open up one of these eggs and it's going to have...
What's inside the eggs?
A name. It's just a name.
A name inside the egg.
A name inside the egg. It's a name of either a coach or a player, former player, former coach, somebody that in not only in the state of Arkansas, but just a nationally renowned, somebody that we know and that we have talked about here as of late.
Okay.
And when you open the egg...
Easily identifiable.
And if you can't identify them, that's on you. That's not on us.
So it's not going to be a Game of Thrones character.
No. Nothing like that. This is going... I tried to do my best to make sure that this is stuff that people actually will know. So when we open these eggs, it's going to have a name. And in that name, we basically have to fill in the blank.
Okay.
Where we give our boldest prediction.
Oh.
So that we'll say the name will blank. And by giving our bold prediction. So, for instance, if the name was Chad Morris, you would say Chad Morris will win 7 games this year.
Okay.
Something to that extent.
Eric Musselman will make the tournament in year one.
Exactly.
You know, something along those lines.
Bold prediction that you have to back up with why. Okay, you can't just say it and then just roll with it.
So a hot 30-second take on
essentially
whatever's inside. Because when we draw an egg throughout the morning, we're going to do this various times throughout the show. So Ty may draw an egg. He doesn't know what's in the egg.
No.
You got to have a quick 30-second, keeping it fast-paced mm-hmm. take on whatever's inside the egg that you don't know. You don't
That's
know
right.
what's coming.
That's right.
All right. So we're going to do this, and then we may do this with some callers. We'll see how it goes. We may do one or two.
This is a new thing on the Morning Rush.
It's just something we're trying to have some fun with here you know, a few days before Easter.
Yeah. I mean, we're getting in the festive spirit. I mean, obviously, you got your Easter shirt on.
Yes, yes.
I've got a Hawaiian shirt on, I don't know how that's an Easter
shirt, but it's,
oh, it's green.
It's spring colors.
Yeah, spring colors. So, I mean, you think of Easter, you think
you're
spring.
Dressed like a fruit, but
it's a pineapple. Who doesn't love pineapples? I mean, everyone loves pineapples. I mean, yeah.
And it goes on ham. And you eat ham at Easter.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, a light lager brewed with a phenomenal strawberry lemonade flavor that's perfect for bringing the fun to every occasion. The new Natural Light Natterdays.
Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Arkansas baseball taking on Mississippi State tonight. Mississippi State ranked number 2 in the country. Of course, it just depends on, again, on who you look at. Is there a baseball ranking that we look at as being the actual one? I mean, because it's not like in college football where you have the rankings or AP and coaches. I mean, it's
certainly.
I don't know which one. I like D1Baseball.com just because they
That's what the NCAA uses.
Okay, so I'll just go with the NCAA one then.
Y'all don't know the answer to this?
You
don't know the answer to which baseball poll you pay attention to.
The one that you ranked higher in, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So whichever one that week, because that's the one that's always in the game notes.
That's right.
Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah, it just
if
switches
one poll
around.
Has you at 4 and the other one has you at 7, you're the 4th-ranked team in America that week.
Yeah, Baseball America has you at this one, but then D1 Baseball has you at this one. You're going to take the higher
one.
Yeah. No, that's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Which poll? Well, the one that has you ranked highest. That's always the answer.
Yeah. Well, Mississippi State at their highest ranked is number 2 right now. By the way, the game tonight's also going to be on ESPNU. Tomorrow night's game and Saturday's game will be on SEC Network Plus. So at least tonight you'll be able to watch it. It's going to be an 8 o'clock game, though, so another late one there in Baum Stadium. But Isaiah Campbell will be taking the mound for the Razorbacks, and he's done a really good job. But, man, this is one of those series that feels like, you know, Arkansas is a good team. They are a good team. They're a top 15, top 20 team. They have been all season long. They've had some really nice season or series victories. They've had some nice midweek victories. They've done some good things. But this series this weekend in Baum Stadium against a team like Mississippi State just feels like if they could find a way to get this series victory, it could kind of push them into that echelon. Okay, not only are you a good team, but you're a team that's good enough to host a regional and super regional in the postseason. It just has that feel to it.
Absolutely. This is another validating opportunity. There's just a lot of those on your SEC schedule. I mean, we mentioned this already once in the show. I'll say it again about LSU. You know, everybody's got this thing about beating LSU because it's been so difficult for Arkansas. I think it goes back to 2011, the last time Arkansas was able to beat LSU in an SEC series. And I get it. You know, I don't like those guys either. Purple nauseates me, you know. Didn't like it when my kids watched Barney, and I don't like it when we play LSU. Just don't like purple, all right? And
part of it.
And they come to town later on in the year. But this is a bigger deal as far as the opponent you got right in front of you.
Yeah.
Mississippi State was in the College World Series last year, right? Am I remembering that right?
Yes.
This is a program that's one of the elites in the game right now. Now, I think Arkansas is in that conversation too, and this is a chance for you to validate Arkansas is one of the elites in college baseball too.
And
it's just a big opportunity. And if you lose 2 out of 3, doesn't mean you suck either.
No.
But be competitive this weekend, and I just think if you could find a way to squeeze out 2 out of 3, you're gonna earn some mad respect from the committee.
Yeah, because I mean this is about as big as it gets. Not to deviate for a little bit from the conversation, you brought up.
I'm sorry, I was just to finish. I don't know if there's a bigger series in the country, honestly.
No.
Man, look, but you can tell me, is there a bigger head-to-head matchup in the country than this one?
I'd have to look at what it seems like. If it is, it's going to be in the SEC West. You know, it's going to be a matchup. I don't know. I'd have to see the schedule there in front of you, but not to deviate too much from that conversation. But when you brought up LSU and how it's been since 2011 And to give everybody perspective, Bobby Petrino and John Pelfrey were your football and basketball coaches, respectively, the last time Arkansas beat LSU in a series. Is it more surprising that Arkansas has not beaten LSU in a series in baseball than it is that Arkansas has not beaten Texas A&M in football since 2011? Because both of them have not happened since 2011.
Jeez.
And here's what makes it crazy, because it's like, okay, you can football is probably more frustrating because you felt like you've been close in so many games, but football since 2011 has really not been that great. Where it's the opposite in baseball, where Arkansas baseball has been fantastic since 2011, but yet still has not been able to get a series victory against LSU. So just between those two, which one would you say is more surprising and more shocking that they have not been able to get a victory since 2011?
Might have to be baseball.
I'm kind of with you on that. I'm with you on that.
Baseball, because football has been anything but consistent. I mean, it's no stability, inconsistent play, hasn't played at a championship, anything approaching a championship level in football since 2011. In baseball, you've done nothing but been, I mean, you had the 1 year you missed postseason. What was that, 2016, you missed. Other than that one anomaly, and that's the definition of anomaly. It's the one out of 17 years or whatever right. It is for Van Horn that you've missed postseason play. Other than that anomaly, you know, you've been to multiple in that time. You've been to, let's see, 15, you went to the College World Series, obviously last year in 2012. So you've been to three College World Series in that span. Yeah, baseball's the more surprising thing. Have you not at least won a series? So to me, that's an easy one.
Yeah, and then a couple years ago, they had a bomb stadium, and Arkansas had won game one. And then in game two, they were up big and then lost the lead, and then they lost game three. So they were really close. So there's been times, and the whole reason I brought it up is because...
And football's been good enough to beat A&M.
Right. But that's been the thing, is it hasn't been...
The Skipper the Tripper game, and you've had several overtime games and a couple overtime games at
even
least.
Even last year, like Arkansas had no business even being close to beating A&M.
But you also had the 2012 game was in the rain. I think, you know, you had the two home series that, you know, when Arkansas was just on down on their luck, and you had probably Manziel here, and it was just, you know, just Arkansas wasn't competitive a couple of years.
Yeah. And then since then, though, since Manziel left, Arkansas has been competitive every single time. Right. You just haven't been able to get over that hump. But those are the two things that are just really weird. Because it's like, listen, Arkansas hasn't beaten Alabama since 2006. That's not surprising. I wouldn't even go as far as to say that it's sad, because Nick Saban, nobody's really beaten Nick Saban in the regular season unless you're Auburn, unless you're Gus Malzahn.
Auburn's been the most consistent, you would say.
Yes. Even Les Miles, when he had it really rolling, had struggled to beat Alabama. So, you know, there's just been times where it's been that way, but there are just a certain games and certain places that just doesn't make much sense. And that's one of them, is LSU when it comes to baseball, and Texas A&M when it comes to football. But I agree with you, Tom, as far as this weekend goes, though. Mississippi State's probably even a bigger series than that one, and a more important series than that one. And if Arkansas and Dave Van Horn can find a way to make it work, I think a big factor in this is the fact that they're getting Jacob Kostyshock back, because he's been gone for 2 weeks with an elbow inflammation. So we can go ahead and knock that out and be able to go ahead with our Easter egg hunt.
I hear it.
All right, so am I next, or do we want Ty to go next?
I think it's your turn.
My turn? Okay, right. Let's go with this. I want to try to mix them up here.
It's the Morning Rush Easter egg hunt here. We found all the eggs. Inside each egg is a little treat.
It's a name. And I have to give a bold prediction or hot take, however you want to put it, with this name. And my name is Ben Hicks.
All right.
So really going up with the football theme so far. All right. Ben Hicks will throw for over 2,500 yards. Will have 20 touchdown passes. But we'll have 10 interceptions, at least 10 interceptions.
Mm-hmm. So. Pick six. Will he throw one?
Yes, he will throw a pick six this year. And but by saying that, though, I mean that in a complimentary way, as far as...
You mean it in a complimentary way.
Not the pick
way.
Six thing, not the pick six thing.
Backtracking, Tommy. Backtracking.
Shut up. What I'm saying is that from what I was talking about with his stats, those are compliments, because that'll show that Arkansas has elevated their game at the quarterback position from compared to last year. So he will be a successful quarterback at Arkansas this year. But, you know, not successful in the realm of a Ryan Mount or Tyler Wilson, but still successful nonetheless.
All right.
That's my bold prediction for Ben Hicks. Good enough for you?
I would like to see Ben Hicks will start blank number of games this year.
Well, since I'm giving those stats out, he's going to start 13.
Ooh. So no Starkle starting, nobody else starting this year.
Well, I gave my bold prediction. I got to roll with it, man. Got to stand by it.
Gotcha. So by that metric, you agree with Tommy that they are going to a bowl game.
That's right.
All right. So I had Chad Morris earlier. I said he's going bowling. You got Ben Hicks starting 13 games this year.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer with a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist. Natterdays, fun for every occasion.
They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house.
Going along with the recruiting theme, we mentioned yesterday that Eric Musselman is having a lot of grad transfers in, not only this weekend, but in the weekends to come, that he's looking for some guys. And obviously, going for big men is not just the only player he's looking at. He's looking at some small forwards, some shooting guards. Seems like he's just going after anybody that he feels he can help the team out in a big way here in the coming weeks. And in a just weird thing, and maybe it's just because we didn't follow it as much, but I think it's actually because it's just the reality of it, that hearing these players, these transfers, these recruits that Arkansas probably wouldn't have a chance at before, or maybe the coaching staff didn't recruit or go after, you know, big name guys, hearing that they're in the mix, hearing that they're interested, hearing that they're taking a visit, to me is just like that. This just adds more fuel to the excitement of what Eric Musselman's bringing when you actually start hearing Arkansas being in the running for some of these big players that schools, not only in your conference, but just around the country, are really interested in and are really going after, like Jahad Proctor. The guy that's from High Point that was averaging like 20 points a game. He's got interest from some big-time schools, some schools that were in the NCAA tournament and Sweet 16s, and he's got Arkansas high on the list. And, you know, you felt the same way kind of with Chad Morris when he came in and seeing the type of recruits that he was getting in and having he visit. And it's, you could see really just the recruiting game be elevated. It's already been elevated in football, but you could see the recruiting game under Eric Musselman be elevated sort of in the same way in basketball, to where you can have some really high-level talented players taking visits to the university and maybe even committing and playing for the university just based off the coaching staffs that you have, and they understand the importance of getting big-time recruits and big high-level caliber players on campus to be able to play for you.
It creates excitement, creates buzz. I mean, and right now you're extending more of the talk around Musselman and around this program, and in a time where, you know, the headlines, you know, have maintained and need to continue to be positive for a program that, you know, attendance has waned and suffered, even though they've continued to sell a fair amount of tickets. People aren't showing up. I'm kind of with you. I got a feeling that next year, even with moderate roster improvement, and we've seen some stories, and we kind of know that there's going to be some transfers out of the program to make room for these guys coming in. There's going to be, you know, what are intended to be upgrades on this roster, a different look for this team. I think it's going to all result in more excitement about this program, more people attending ball games, and, you know, with obviously the hope of winning more games and getting to a tournament next year, getting to the tournament next year. So I think people are very hopeful. That's the thing. It all comes back to that word hope. People are very hopeful that you know, you're trending and heading back in the right direction again.
Because I don't feel like making the NCAA tournament is just such a far away, crazy, nearly impossible goal for this team upcoming this season. I'm not saying that it's a guarantee, but you're just in that situation, and if you add a couple pieces here and there, you could be a tournament team this year. I mean, that's how I feel about it, and that's how I think Eric Musselman feels about it too. So it's just amazing how a couple players here or there can make all the difference in the world. And could you imagine the momentum and the excitement that Razorback fans would have if Eric Musselman in year one went to the NCAA tournament? Well, I mean, that would be huge.
But also, I think there would be a good portion of the fan base that would also heap some unrealistic expectations about what should follow in years two and three and four.
That would also come with the territory.
So that would have to be tempered at the same time as well.
Yeah. Which, again, you know, is given, and we don't know if he's going to make the term. We don't know what this roster is even going to look like next year. We know that the players that are staying, but who knows who's transferring out, who knows who's coming in, who knows what it's going to look like. But if he made the tournament next year, it would just, Arkansas has not seen that. Because it took Mike Anderson year five until he made the NCAA tournament. Now, granted, he took over a much worse situation, but it took him until year five. Stan Heath, it took him until year four to make the NCAA tournament. And Pelfrey, I don't count because he took over a team that me and you could have made to the tournament his first year. But after that, they didn't make a tournament. Right. So, you know,
not only did they make the tournament, they beat Indiana.
Yeah, and then got smoked by North Carolina. But they at least made the tournament that year. And that's what's crazy about it is because in the past few years, in the past few coaches that Arkansas has had come through the basketball program, it's taken them time. It's taken them 4-5 years to really establish themselves and get to an NCAA tournament. Even before that with Nolan Richardson, it took him a few years. So it's always been this buildup, and I know times have changed.
But the difference with Nolan is once he started getting to the tournament, he got to him in a big way. And, of course, when you have the ability to go land a Todd Day along with a Lee Mayberry and an Oliver Miller and get to the 1990 Final Four. I mean, when he got to the tournament, he didn't just get to the tournament and got ousted. He went to the Final Four pretty quick.
Right.
You know? So that helped.
And that's what it's all about is because, like you said, Tommy, the people would start putting on some expectations that come along with it. If Eric Musselman made the tournament in year one and it looks like the recruiting classes are really starting to go, then the expectations get thrown through the roof. People say, all right, Sweet 16, again, when's this happening?
And as his deal set up, you mentioned Sweet 16, that's where it's going. He wasn't brought in just to make the tournament. They had a guy here that could make the tournament. Steele's about being around in the tournament for a little while. So you're looking for a coach that can get you back and survive in the tournament, be in some Sweet 16s, and a coach that can legitimately get you to Final Fours.
Yes, because it's, again, like getting to the tournament is great, and you can't get to the Final Four unless you get to the tournament. But you just want to be in a position and have a coach and have a culture, have a program that's considered to be one of the better, more successful programs in this conference. And if you do that, getting to the tournament, getting to Sweet 16s, getting to those next levels where people are talking about you. Because I think that's another thing that goes a long way. Nobody really talked about Arkansas. Even though they were a solid program under Mike Anderson, they didn't get talked about like Bruce Pearl at Auburn or even Frank Martin at South Carolina or Ben Howland at Mississippi State. Like, they just didn't get talked about. They didn't get looked at in the same light. It was all very different. So just Razorback fans, I'm sure, would love to have that feeling too, to where not only are they successful and that they're good and they're competing, but they're also a team that gets talked about from the national perspective. Let's go to the phone lines. Joe is in Fayetteville. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, guys. Good morning. This is backtracking a little, but I got a question from something you said a minute ago.
Okay.
So Stan Heath, whenever we had Stan Heath, do you think we possibly let him go a little too early? I mean, you said John Pelfrey inherited a pretty nice team. Do you think we let him go a little too early as far as backing it up with Pelfrey?
I wouldn't say they let him go too early because he did go to back-to-back tournaments. I mean, you got to give him credit for that, and he was recruiting really well. But a problem was is that he had a boring style of basketball, which I know he was winning, but he had a boring style of basketball, and there were some other issues that were going on behind the scenes with academics and all of those things. That was one of the rumors why Dane Altman left after one day, at least one of the big reasons, was that the program was in really bad shape when it came to APR and all of that. So there were some other factors that went into it, but I don't think they let him go too early because when Stan Heath left Arkansas, he didn't do anything. And usually if he's a good coach, he can win at any point. So I just feel like that was the right move at the time.
All right, that answered the question. Thank you, guys.
I appreciate it, man. And here's the thing, too, because if they would have actually had a chance to keep Dana Altman and hold on to Dana Altman, I mean, look what he's done at Oregon. I mean, the guy's a great coach. So, you know, they would have been elevated and everyone would have looked at, hey, that was the right decision to get rid of Heath because you got Dana Altman that picked it up. But, you know, that wasn't necessarily the case that ended up happening. All right, let's do another one of these. All right. Is it my turn? Is that who it is?
Do we have a turn?
I think so. I think it's my turn. You were the last one, right?
No, Ty was the last one.
Ty was last one.
If we're going to go on rotation,
then
it's
you. Okay, my bad. Not trying to take your turn.
Welcome,
Rabbits. Oh, there you go.
All right, here we go.
Welcome, Rabbits.
Let's make it a good one.
Brett Bielema.
Yes. Okay. Bold prediction, hot take about Brett Bielema, Tommy.
Brett Bielema will regain all of his weight. No, okay, let me get serious about this. Brett Bielema will not be a head coach in college football again.
At any level?
in college at any level.
At any level in college football.
Will not
that's
be a head coach at a Power 5.
There you go. Okay.
Let me call it Power 5 head coach in college football again.
Okay. Do you think he'll stay in the NFL? It's just a kind of a bouncing around coach, or what?
Yeah,
do you think he's going to do?
I think he's going to be at some point, he'll work his way back into being an assistant coach, like a full-time assistant coach in the NFL. I think he wants to stay somewhere in that East Coast, Florida, you know, a quick flight to Florida region. I think that's kind of priority to him.
I think an ideal situation for him would be like a linebacker coach for the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah,
like something like that.
Absolutely.
So Tommy's hot take bowl prediction is that Brett Bielema will not be a Power 5 head football coach ever again.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer.
Time for another Easter egg hunt. All right, so just to give everybody a heads up, we're opening up Easter eggs that have names in these Easter eggs, and we have to give a bold prediction or hot take of the person that it's about. So I will be next here on the Morning Rush. Bobby Petrino is the name that I have.
This is a good one. I got Bielema last, so you get Petrino now. Two ex-coaches.
Okay. My bold prediction of Bobby Petrino. Bobby Petrino will coach a Power 5 team again. Now, this seems like a bold prediction to me, too, just because of his ouster at Louisville and how awful it was. But somebody is going to take a risk on Bobby Petrino again. His name is going to come up once again, and he will get another shot at a Power 5 conference.
And when and where?
I think it'll be not this season, but next season, heading into it. And I am going to predict it's going to be like Indiana, like Purdue. A school that isn't known for its football, doesn't have a lot of pressures to win at a high level, but wants to make a big splash. Yeah, wants to make a big splash name, and what better person to do it with than Bobby Petrino. So there you have it. I got Bobby Petrino, my bold prediction, him coaching once again at the Power 5 level.
So that's how our Easter egg hunt is working this morning.
There you go.
Guys, we're going to have to play him this year, so of course it's not going to be this year.
Who are you talking about?
Bobby Petrino.
You have to play Bobby Petrino this year?
That's right. He's at Missouri right now.
What is he doing at Missouri?
I mean, he's coaching quarterbacks. That's what I hear.
Interesting. So, well, look at that. Tyler Wilson coming in hot and breaking some news here.
No, is this not national news? Maybe I'm just getting text messages that I don't know. Maybe I'm breaking news that shouldn't be broken.
Well, I'm about to say, because you haven't heard anything, and I haven't heard
anything.
Maybe
I was out of the country when that happened.
Yeah. So, well, there you have it. Well, if that's true, though, that's pretty big, and that would be fascinating to see how that
goes. Did we miss that one, Ty?
Did you see it, Ty?
It's not any news cycle.
Well, there you go.
Well,
nicely done, Tyler.
That's an inside source right there.
I happen to know some stuff that's going on in the world. I'm sorry. I've been out.
No. Please do not apologize.
Yeah, that's a great thing to have. So there. Okay. So Arkansas.
Well, I'm not sure that there's an official title there.
Right.
I just know that
he's there.
You've got the band is being put back together at Missouri.
That's
what it sounds like.
So that's not for sure or anything, but there could be a possibility of Bobby Petrino coming down to Little Rock this year.
But not as a head coach.
No, not as a head coach, but just on staff in some capacity. So interesting. Wow. So I was kind of wondering when I got that name, like, okay, so what? Well, I didn't even know what he was doing now, because you usually hear about him being an analyst with Nick Saban or something. It seems like Nick Saban's always doing that, but there you have it. He is at Missouri.
Well, when I say that, you've got Garrett McGee, obviously, that's at Missouri.
Yep.
Who is now the offense coordinator and involved with the quarterbacks. And Petrino could be very involved in that as well, is what I understand.
Fascinating. All right.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.